We are making our way closer to a three-day turnaround, the power of the resurrection. But there's a road that Jesus is on that is paving the way for our reconciliation of the truth of our identity. And the shaping of our lives in trusting who ultimately is in control. And I think that two things that most unravel us, you heard this from Tori, and it's true of every single one of us, when we don't know who we are, you know, and I want to clarify something. It's not, I've been wrestling with this all day. It's not simply behavior modification, okay? It's heart transformation. And so it's not just things that we do. That's just a product of an unsettled truth of our identity, which causes, by the way, pain. Consider that God is not a killjoy. He's not trying to rob you of pleasure of your life. He's not trying to rob you of laughter and joy in your life, right? He's actually trying to safeguard your joy in your life, the thing that you were ultimately created for. But when our identity is in crisis, or there is a false identification of who we are, and we start to lose control, that's a dangerous, frightening place to be. Would you agree? Yeah, for every single one of us, there was a moment in my life, we're going to get a little personal here, possibly humorous, in my life when there was a misinterpretation of who I was and a absolute loss of control, okay, on my part. So here you go. I was flying back. Yes, that's me. I was profiled as a drug smuggler. Okay? Look at that smile. I'm so friendly, right? But I'm flying back from Tokyo, had been doing mission work in Japan, was coming through customs in Seattle, and I was profiled as a drug smuggler. I know, Grace, you're just losing it. And in those moments, there's moments of panic, right? When the authorities are there. Have you ever had this? And you're going, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. All they said was passport. And I'm surrounded by customs officers. And they simply say passport. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And for the life, and you have your passport, right? You know you have your passport. But I could not find my passport. And I panicked. And I ran. No, I did not run. Okay? I panicked. And so just as ludicrous, I started making jokes. Right. Dean finds himself, true part, guns are unclipped. And I find myself against the wall, okay? It was crystal clear who was not in control, okay? Identity and a loss of control is a dangerous place to be. And so in our account tonight, we're dealing with the arrest of Jesus and an unbelievable battle for control. And a misguided understanding of who is actually in control, right? In this account, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's been praying. Last week, he returns three times to his disciples and finds them sleeping. Tonight, not only are they sleeping, but they ultimately just abandon him. And in this time of prayer, Jesus, as we mentioned last week, he is in this intense stress that his capillaries burst and he is sweating droplets of blood, is what John's gospel tells us. And then there is the arrival of this crowd of men, the Jewish military, showing up with swords and clubs to arrest Jesus. And you heard this from the reading. Jesus asked the question, you know, I've been in the temple all these days teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. Why didn't you arrest me then? I mean, this whole thing is a sham, right? It's an illegal trial that is about to happen. It's an illegal arrest of Jesus. And so these men sent by the high priest, the teachers of the law, they arrive with swords and clubs, thinking that they are in control. And also seeing Jesus as a possible revolutionary. That this is going to be a violent engagement with Jesus. And so they're going to need swords and clubs to take Jesus down. And so that's their perspective of who Jesus is. Now think of his track record up to this point. Think about everything that everyone has been seeing and hearing in the life of Jesus. His love, his compassion, the power to heal people. He touches the untouchables, right? The outcasts of society. This is who Jesus loves. And he serves them. He is for them, not against them, right? This is the behavior of this revolutionary that they come with swords and clubs to arrest. And yet his behavior does not merit what seems to be happening here. The others grabbed Jesus, arrested him, but one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. Another grab for control. First of all, it's this Jewish military coming to arrest Jesus with swords and clubs. Then, in Matthew's gospel, we don't get the name, but in John's gospel, we know that this is Peter. That Peter is having a desperate moment of trying to regain control. If I can just fight for Jesus, if I can just defend him, maybe this won't go the way it looks like it's going to go. And so he reaches out and he slashes. And you have to understand, I mean, Peter's laying it on the line here, right? I don't think he is an expert swordsman. He's not going for the ear, right? I mean, there's some ducking and weaving going on here by the high priest's slave who ducks, possibly, and just gets his ear taken off. And so Peter, just like the military crowd, is trying to regain control. Judas is the same way, by the way. As he approaches Jesus, he's thinking he's in control. I'm going to shape this whole night by betraying Jesus, possibly pushing him into a position of taking ownership of his kingdom on earth, maybe. And so he approaches Jesus and he kisses him, thinking he too is in control. Isn't it amazing who's actually in control in all of this? Jesus says, "Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly?" Isn't that something? He's just making a statement of a reality here. That's all Jesus is doing. Do you not realize? What's wrapped up in this paragraph is, do you not realize that I'm in control of this entire situation? See, this military group, they think they're in control. Judas thinks he's in control. Peter is grasping for control. But the whole time, Jesus is fully in control. And then he says this, "But if I did, if I called down, if I called out to my heavenly Father and he sent down thousands upon thousands of angels and rescued us, if I did, how would the scripture be fulfilled that describes what must happen now and the day to come?" Right? In other words, Jesus is saying, I have a plan. It is the plan of my heavenly Father to restore and reconcile what is mine, my creation, the people that I love, the creation that I love and long to restore. This plan must happen. In John's gospel, this is one of the most powerful things I've ever heard, that Jesus says, no one takes my life from me, right? I lay it down on my own accord. In other words, from this moment, from the arrest, through the trial, to his whipping and beating, to him carrying the cross, all of it is orchestrated by God to pay for our crimes. Because he loves us. Because God loves us. And he understands that there is no way that humanity can pay for the crimes against a holy and righteous and loving and good and just God. This is the plan, people. And as dark as it seems, as horrific as it is, it's God's plan to reconcile us out of love, out of kindness, out of mercy. Many of you know one of my favorite words. We'll get to Isaiah in a second. It's this theological term, propitiation. And we see this played out in Isaiah. Propitiation is the exchange of wrath with a gift. In other words, there's crime and punishment. Someone has to pay for the crimes, right? And Jesus is willing to pay for those crimes. And so the wrath is extended to Jesus. He receives all of that. And in exchange, you receive mercy. The love of God, the friendship of God, the grace of God, the reconciliation of God. And so Jesus fulfills this prophecy. Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Jesus was born to describe the sacrifice of the Messiah. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. In other words, he did not retaliate, but he willingly went to the cross. He willingly let them take him out of that garden and arrest him because he loves us. Now, friends, tonight I believe that every single one of us is in a battle, like Tori spoke about, in some sort of identity battle. Who am I really? How am I trying to portray this identity to those around me? Will they accept me? Will they approve of me? Will they love me? Will they stick around with me? We're all battling this identity crisis all the time. And yet God is trying to break through and say, you're mine, you're loved, claimed, okay? I know you. I know your life. I know the good. I know the bad. I know the really, really hard things. I know it all. And I'm faithful to you. Your identity is child of God, claimed by God. And ultimately, there's this again. This beautiful expression of relinquishment, right? We're not in control. We're not. But a good, good Father is in control. And because of the blood of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, you are covered with that. His redemptive work, his love and grace is for you. He is for you, not against you. And so I pray tonight that you are reminded of your identity, no matter what the world has spoken over you or the years have beat down into you, that tonight you hear that you are loved, forgiven, claimed, known and redeemed, seen by God, and he still loves you and he is faithful to you. So open your hands. Let go. He's got you. He's got your situation. He's got the circumstances that you walked in here tonight with. He's got it. So Lord God, we pray a deepening trust in you, a deepening abiding, Lord God, in you, that we would trust your promises and your presence Lord, even as we have spoken earlier, you will never leave us and you will never forsake us, that we are safe in your hands, in your grip, Lord God, that there's nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. And it is because of your sacrifice, Jesus, your broken body and shed blood, that we have new life and we have a true identity and we can trust that you are in control. And so, Lord God, would you care for us tonight and minister to us, Holy Spirit, for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.